Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Amen. The question at the heart of this week's gospel is a question that goes beyond any time or generation. It's a question for the ages. How long will you keep us in suspense? They asked Jesus. If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. The setting is a late December day in Jerusalem. Jesus is walking through the portico or the colonnade of Solomon, an old and revered part of the temple. And as usual, he's drawing a crowd around him. This time, people gathered around him were the ones who were devout Jews who had come to town to celebrate the Feast of Dedication, better known to us as Hanukkah. No doubt they heard some rumors or listened in on Jesus' enigmatic sermons or witnessed one of his mind-boggling miracles. They're not unfamiliar with the teacher of Nazareth. They understood that he is complex and he is elusive. And hence the question, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, just tell us plainly. When I was growing up in church, maybe you had the same experience. Steeped in scripture, I remember taking an arrogant pleasure in mocking the gospel characters who didn't accept Jesus' messiahship at the very beginning. We would say to ourselves, why were they so thick? But you know, sometimes we do the same. If we'd been there, if we'd seen the things that the disciples saw, if we heard the words those crowds heard, we would have believed right there on the spot. Are you sure? Thank God for humility that comes with time. These days, my heart goes out to those people who questioned Jesus during his time on earth. Granted, their motives were mixed. Some were baiting him, hoping to provoke some gossip worthy of scandal. Others wanted Jesus to lead a revolution against Rome, or to establish a new and rival religion, or wave his mighty magic wand in the air and rain miracles from the sky. Some were simply eager debaters, hankering for a hot argument with this rabbi. And yet, something about their questions still haunts me. I know what it's like to feel as if God is keeping me in suspense, taking me on roundabout paths, keeping his silence, and making my spiritual journey so much more complicated than I believed it needed to be. I've heard people begin their prayers, and I think some of ours have the same implication as we pray. If you are good, if you are powerful, if you are merciful, if you are, if you're the Messiah, then stop talking in riddles. Speak plainly. Behave predictably. Make my tiresome disbelief impossible. Take this world of swirling, dubious gray and turn it black and white once and for all. And how does Jesus respond? Well, not plainly. Go figure. and not at first glance kindly. I have told you, and you do not believe, he says with some impatience in his voice. And then the icy censure. You do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. What? Say that again. You do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. What can such a stark, cut and dry pronouncement mean? I suppose the easy dodge would be to insist that the sentence just doesn't apply to me or you. After all, most of us are cradle believers. We grew up in the church. We know our Bibles. We say our prayers. Surely I both believe and belong. Except when I don't. The nagging trouble with Jesus' indictment is that it does apply to my spiritual experience and yours as well. Not rarely, but often. I doubt with alarming regularity. Do you? I question God's goodness, His power, and even His existence more often than I care to tell you. I can't know for sure what the motivations were of these people in the temple, but I know my own. When I ask Jesus to stop keeping me in suspense, when I insist that He speak plainly, isn't it what I'm really saying and isn't it what we are saying? I don't really trust you. I trust neither your willingness to speak to me nor my capacity to hear your voice. You're supposed to be my good shepherd. I'm supposed to know, trust, and love your voice, but I very often don't. So what now? At first glance, Jesus' reply might appear to suggest that belonging to Him depends on our believing in Him. But in fact, what Jesus says is exactly the opposite. You struggle to believe because you don't consent to belong. Can I say that again? Struggle to believe because you don't consent to belong. In other words, belief doesn't come first. It can't come first. Belonging does. According to the text, whatever belief I arrive at in this life will come not out of a creed or a cleverly worded sermon, but from the daily, hourly business of belonging to Jesus' flock, of walking in the footsteps of the shepherd, living in the company of fellow sheep, and listening in real time for the voice of the one whose classroom is rocky hills, hidden pastures, deeply shadowed canyons. Don't get me wrong, creeds are important. But if I won't follow Him into those layered places, places of both tranquility and treachery, I will never belong to Him at all. I wonder if Jesus resisted the crowd's question that day because it was so pitifully inadequate. What good would it have done had He stood up in the temple at their insistence and yelled, "Yes, yes, in fact, I am the Christ"? Would it have made any difference? Suddenly, would His parables, His countercultural teachings, and His strange miracles have coalesced into some common sense? I really doubt it. Jesus was a storytelling rabbi, far more interested in formation than in formula. Maybe by refusing to speak plainly, Jesus was honoring human life for all its incredible complexity. After all, one doesn't speak plainly about the greatest mysteries of the universe. Jesus came to teach us about truth, about love, about eternal life. In God's just and transformative kingdom, one doesn't simply profess belief in such weighty and mysterious things. One lives into them, questioning into them, believing into them, growing into them. Sheep know their shepherd because they are his. They walk, graze, feed, and sleep in his footsteps, beneath his rod and staff, within constant earshot of his voice. So we believe in the Christ as we belong to him, as we allow ourselves to become fully and deeply his. He walks ahead of us, and we will only learn his path by walking it. As the hymn says, so let it be our prayer, let us ever walk with Jesus. Amen.